Live from the KSRM studios on K Beach Road, KSRM 920 AM and 92.5 FM presents Decision 2022. Tonight, we feature the candidates for the Kenai City Council. You'll hear their opinions on the issues that matter to you. And now, here's your host for tonight's forum, Anthony Moore.
And a good evening to all of you on the Kenai Peninsula. This is Anthony Moore, and you are listening to KSRM 920 AM, also broadcasting online and on 92.5 FM. This hour's candidate forum is going to be focusing on the race for Kenai City Council. We'll focus on the race for Kenai City Mayor next hour. So joining me in studio is the challengers and the incumbent for the Kenai City Council. It is a three-year term, two to be elected. We are joined by Glenise Petty, Alex Dothit, and Victoria Askins. So a good evening and a good afternoon to those listening and those in the studio. So let me go over a few points here before we officially get into the forum. The candidates will have a two-minute opening statement followed by a question and answer portion. Questions going to be administered by myself. I feel it's worth mentioning we're not going to be taking any phone calls, so with all due respect, do not call our radio station. We're not going to be taking phone calls. The questions that are going to be asked are specifically administered by the KSRM News Department. Candidates will have a maximum time of 2 minutes to introduce themselves, and this introduction will be followed by a series of questions provided by myself. Each candidate then will have a maximum of 90 seconds to respond to each question. And upon the conclusion of the 90 seconds, I will cut you off. I'll also alternate asking each candidate questions. This forum focuses on issues that impacts our area and impacts our states. And I ask you to respect the format of the forum, answer the questions accordingly, and avoid personal attacks on the opposing candidates. And lastly, each candidate will be given a minute close at the end of the hour. So welcome to KSRM's coverage of Decision 2022. And let us officially introduce our candidates. And again, you will have 2 minutes for your opening statement. We will start with Glenise Petty.
Well, good afternoon. My name is Glenise Petty, and I have lived in the community for 32 years, moving here from Memphis, Tennessee. This is where my husband and I, of 45 years, have raised our family. I've had the privilege to serve the city by, first of all, being on the planning and zoning, being a commissioner for the planning and zoning, and then I've been an elected official for the past 6 years. It's been a great honor to serve y'all. We have experienced some beautiful opportunities here in our city. Since I've been on the council, we have worked at river restoration, bluff erosion, and just to tell you a little bit more about myself, I was born and raised in Arkansas. Moved here from Memphis, went to school at Memphis State University and have my degree in computer systems. Worked as a registered nurse 10 years prior to my children being born, homeschooled our kiddos, and am a grandmother of two charming little boys. So it's an honor to be here and look forward to your questions.
And Alex Dothit, your two-minute opening statement, please.
Yes, hi. Alex Dothit. I'm lifelong Alaska resident, born and raised here in Kenai. Both my parents were born and raised in the state of Alaska. My grandparents moved here before it was a state. We've got a lot of roots here in Alaska. I've got an amazing wife, which we run a business together here in Kenai, and then four rambunctious young boys that are all going to schools, three different schools here in Kenai. So we've got a lot of roots here in Kenai, and that's really why I'm wanting to serve in more than I am right now. Currently, I'm serving on the Planning and Zoning Commission as a vice chair, and then I'm also on the Kenai Chamber of Commerce Board of Directors and look forward to helping the city grow. I really want to focus on business growth and economic growth within the city, both by bringing businesses and trying to simplify some permitting processes, hopefully, and streamline some different issues that I found as we're trying to build our business and continue to make Kenai look good for the future growth of businesses, which in turn will help us bring new residents to the city of Kenai, which then causes everybody to have opportunities for growth and make our city continue to prosper, which we've been doing an amazing job lately. Again, I wanted to reach out and say thanks to Mr. Ostrander for his service, and I look forward to hopefully being able to have a say and being able to pick out the next city manager. And that's kind of me in a nutshell.
Ms. Askin, your two-minute opening statement.
Thank you for inviting us today. It's a pleasure to be here. I'm a 38-year resident of Kenai. My husband and I raised four children here, and we've been a part of the community for that long. I started serving with the city in 2008 on the Harbor Commission, and 8 years later, I transferred over to the Planning and Zoning Commission. In 2021, I was honored to serve, or 2020, I was honored to serve as an appointed member of the City Council, and would like to do that again. I'm fiscally conservative. I believe that open communication is the way to make things work in our community. I want to see future business growth, and I feel like serving on the council is a way that I can give back to the community. And as you see on my signs, I'm asking for your vote.
Let's get into some of the questions that we have prepared for you this evening from the KSRM News Department. Obviously, if you tuned into the news not too long ago, the lead story that broke a couple of hours ago, and that is City Manager Paul Ostrander announces that at the conclusion of his contract, which is in January of 2023, he will be leaving the city of Kenai as the city manager. So let's talk about city manager. And obviously, Kenai is a city manager type of government. With Kenai being a city manager type of government, how satisfied are you with our soon-to-be former current manager, Paul Ostrander, and why? We will start with Victoria Askin, your 90-second statement.
I'm very sorry to hear that Paul Ostrander is leaving. I think he's done a phenomenal job as city manager. And I've heard that also from his staff. I've heard it from directors of different departments that he's brought a team-building mode of management to the city, and they feel heard. And I hope that we can find someone who is at least equal to what he was able to do for the city.
Okay, Alex Dothit, same question. With Kenai being a city manager-type government, how satisfied are you with our soon-to-be former City Manager Paul Ostrander, and why? 90 seconds, please.
Well, I think Paul Ostrander's done a great job as far as being fiscally responsible with the city. He's put us in a good financial situation with savings and hopefully continue to see future growth. Personally, I think there's a few little things I'd like to see critiqued, and we've had some meetings together talking about those. I think everybody's got room for improvement. He's done a great overall job, but hopefully he'll pass on some good notes to the next individual we hire, and we'll continue to be fiscally responsible and continue to work forward with some of the goals that we had discussed in some of our meetings about hopefully trying to improve things in a few different aspects.
Glenice Petty, same question, but you are currently on the Kenai City Council. So with Kenai being a city manager type government, how satisfied are you with Paul Ostrander as the city manager?
Thank you. I have been so very privileged to serve with Paul. I was part of the council team in recruiting for a new city manager. That was one of the first tasks that I was tasked to participate in, and feel like that we were that the city was richly blessed in having him in the leadership of the city manager. Under his tenure, we have seen the very successful Silver Salmon Derby come to our town. We also have seen implemented a process that went across all departments in searching for efficiencies in our city. And under his leadership, we found one-time efficiencies of $95,000, and then annually over the times that he was here that we put this in place, we've seen a reoccurring over $409,000 efficiencies that saved our city and tax dollars for our community members. And that's just the tip of the iceberg of some of the lovely things that he has put in place. And I am sorry to see him go. It's been a privilege to work with him, but only wish he and his family the utmost best. He has implemented things so as to make the transition very smooth. So wishing him the best.
Let us ask a follow-up question, and we'll start with Glenice Petty for this question here. What is it that you look for in a city manager? Because obviously one of the first big tasks is the position will be advertised, and members of the public as well as the city council will obviously have a say in this process. So talk to me a little bit, because this is a city manager type government, what it is that you look for in a city manager. 90 seconds, Glenice Petty.
Yes, we will look for former experience in leadership and the opportunity to manage department heads and the scope of their experience in individuals whom that they have worked with. We'll also want to be looking for someone who has the skills of communication, so that because he will be, or she, this new city manager, will be working with the public, his current administration, and then also the elected officials. So being able to communicate effectively, both orally and written is very important.
Same question, Victoria Askin. What is it that you look for in a city manager?
I truly appreciated the wisdom that Paul brought to the position, his fiscal responsibility, his leadership. I have heard from other departments their appreciation of his leadership. In addition, his ability to communicate and interface with public as well as the council and administration. It takes a good communicator to be able to stay in touch with all of them and communicate effectively. I found working with Paul's manner extremely satisfying, and would like to see another one whose calm demeanor can guide the city responsibly.
Same question, Alex Dothit. What it is that you're going to be looking for in a city manager?
Well, for sure, we need somebody who's willing to be open as a team player. Previous experience as a city manager would be great, but we'll see what happens out there in this current job market. Definitely somebody who tends to be more fiscal conservative, because I think that's what the city wants to see. We like to see some savings. We don't want to overspend. But also somebody who's hopefully technologically experienced. I'd really like to see somebody who would be willing to see the city move more into a paperless and possibly move towards more efficiencies within the interdepartment communications. Just in my previous experience right now working through the building process, and I've talked to Paul about this, is been able to make some efficiencies with checklists and interdepartment communications and seeing those things be able to be implemented. And I think that a lot can be done with just interdepartment electronic technologies that are available now, and having more online forms available and updating some of the ones that are there. Just somebody trying to bring us more into the 21st century a little bit, and some of our forms would be great. Thank you.
And if you're just tuning in, this is KSRM 920 AM and also on 92.5 FM. I should probably add, this is the candidate forum for the Kenai City Council race. We have in studio Victoria Askin and Alex Dothit and Glenice Petty. I should probably also add, Alex Dothit and Victoria Askin are challengers in this race. Glenice Petty is the incumbent. It is a 3-year term, two of which are to be elected. Let us change change mindsets here with some other issues pressing the city of Kenai, and that is jobs and retail. Let's talk a little bit about retail. What is it that you could do to bring more businesses in town? And the reason why is because we've seen several businesses are in the process of leaving. Kenai Kombucha left. They're also no longer in business. The bowling alley is, I should probably say, officially gone now that the building's not there anymore. And Kendall is in the process of leaving. So talk to me about what you can do to bring more businesses in town and subsequently help create more jobs in the city. We'll start with Alex Doth at 90 seconds, please.
Yes. Well, just one of the examples there. Unfortunately, with Kenai Kombucha, it seems like they closed down after they left the city. So maybe it would have been better if they'd stayed in the city. So they were doing really good, and then they moved and they closed. Unfortunately, I hate to see that. But the going forth, I hope the cities will continue to offer benefits to people. We've got some just recently. There's some restaurants that are looking to possibly develop some city land, and I hope to see that move forward. I really want to see advertise. The city, I think, needs to get on the ball in advertising what we have to offer to different businesses. We've got a lot of land. We've got land incentives, and I don't think a lot of people understand the land incentives that we have offered and the amount of land that we have. We could see big warehouses move in just because we have a lot more land to offer than a lot of other cities around. Good quality infrastructure, good soils for the building. We have our airport to monopolize on, and just advertising to these businesses and really reaching out and letting people know what we have available would be great. I think we can monopolize on that advertising type campaign and working on streamlining some of our processes internally to make it more business friendly. There's a few things I've been working on and making some notes as I go through the process of building our new building in town. And that's why big reasons I want to see getting on the city council is having that small business experience right here in town, and firsthand working through it currently has helped me open up to what different possibilities might help with businesses. And I'm willing to ask around to other community members what they think and get their ideas on this too.
And let us move on. Glenise Petty, same question. Let's talk about retail. Let's talk about jobs. We've seen some businesses leave. We've seen some businesses being torn down. What is it that you can do to help create more jobs in the city and bring more businesses to town?
Well, first of all, I wouldn't want to limit it just to retail opportunities, but I do appreciate all the retail opportunities that are here in our community. We would like to be able to be very business friendly with our work-life balance in the lovely place that we live here by keeping our taxes low. Also, we have our very first-class airport opportunity that gives transportation when needed. And also the land use and the land that we have here in Kenai. We have quite a bit of land that is available for development, and the tax incentives that we could put in place to see businesses come to our community. Thank you.
Same question Victoria asking. Let's talk about businesses and jobs. What can you do to bring more businesses to town and to help create more jobs in the city? 90 seconds, please.
I'd like to see us continue with our land incentives. We do have a lot of land and a lot of strategically placed land available. as for the bowling alley, all four of my kids graduated from high school with scholarship money from the bowling program when the youth program was running. It's a shame that that went under, but there were several different factors, I guess you would say, that brought that about. I think the brick and mortar businesses are vital to the atmosphere of our city, and seeing the waterfront revitalization happening where we can bring in more small little shops and brick and mortar kind of businesses that are locally owned would be a great incentive for our city. I've heard of two restaurants that are planning on coming into town. I hope that that happens. I know there's two or three other businesses that are building to serve in Kenai, so I think we're on the right track.
Let us ask a follow-up here for this other question. Let's talk about economic development, sort of a follow-up to the retail and jobs. What is the City of Kenai's role in economic development? 90 seconds, Victoria Askin, please.
I know that the Economic Development District is working closely with the City of Kenai. I'm not exactly sure how to answer that other than providing incentive for businesses to come in and build or expand existing businesses would be the way to keep our economy going.
Same question, Alex Dothit. What is the city's role in economic development?
Well, the city plays a huge role in economic development. If we raise our taxes too high, we could start to squash our economy. We need to keep our taxes low, be able to offer incentives, but also by the city controls all the roads and we have all the utilities and infrastructure. And by the city having a good quality infrastructure and good quality roads, that encourages economic development, which then encourages, you know, the businesses have the ability to come in, and the city maintaining its infrastructure and keeping its taxes low and offering incentives for businesses to move in are all key components to being able to allow the economy of Kenai to continue to grow. And that's a huge role that we play as city council members to be able to checks and balances and making sure we're continuing to work in that forward motivation to keep the economy growing and in check.
Glenice Petty, same question. Let's talk about economic development. What do you think the city's role in economic development is and should be? 90 seconds.
Well, it should be encouraging capitalism and giving. We have just recently did the river restoration opportunity for the economic development down on the riverfront, which gives a captured picture of what the community wanted to see happen down there. We're also making sure that we have a stable tax base, because with instability, it does not encourage businesses. Also, we want to make sure that our safety and fire for our public safety individuals, so that everyone feels safe here to come and develop in our community. And so just being a great place overall to live and raise a family would encourage businesses to come to this space.
This is KSRM 920 AM, also broadcasting online at RadioKenai.com, on the go as well with our KSRM mobile app, and we're also broadcasting on 92.5 FM. So here's what's going to happen. We're going to be cut off by the bottom of the hour ABC News in about 60 seconds. We will continue with more of the candidate forum for the members of the Kenai City Council coming up after this. It's also worth reminding you that we have another candidate forum later on this evening at 5 p.m. is going to be the candidates for Kenai City Mayor. So we'll be joined in studio by Tia Winger and Brian Gabriel. Also, you can hear on Thursday at 4 p.m. the candidates for Kenai Peninsula Borough Assembly. District 3 Nikiski is going to be at 4 p.m. And then also Thursday at 5 p.m. is District 4 Soldotna for the Kenai Peninsula Borough Assembly. And especially specifically for those two races as well, if you'd like to submit any questions, you can email me at news@radiokenai.com.
Welcome back to KSRM's coverage of Decision 2022 on KSRM 920 AM, 92.5 FM, and RadioKenai.com.
And that is indeed what we are doing by having and scheduling these election forums featuring candidates that will appear on the ballot for the municipal election that will be held a week from today, Tuesday, October the 4th. And if you've not done so already, obviously set time aside so you can go out and vote. You're allowed to do early voting. Or if not, it's also on October the 4th. We'll have election coverage on KSRM and also on our website at RadioKenai.com. Let us continue with the second half of the race for Kenai City Council. Three-year term. Two to be elected. We're joined in studio by Glenice Petty, the incumbent, Alex Dothit, challenger, and Victoria Askin, challenger. And this is KSRM's continued coverage of Decision 2020. So let's go back into the issues pertaining the region, the Kenai Peninsula, and more specifically, the city of Kenai. So the city of Kenai spent $100,000 on this waterfront redevelopment study. What fruit can grow from a study like this? 90 seconds, Alex Dothit.
Well, I think it was interesting to hear the community come out. A lot of people in support of it. I went to a few of the different work sessions. I wasn't able to go to the final one, but from what it sounds like, they came up with some interesting ideas, some really expensive ideas. I think what it does is it shows possible private entities that there is an interest in doing something with this area other than what it is now. And whether the city ends up putting money into this or not, it sounds like there's been some new acquisitions of some of the lands down there, and they've got some interesting ideas for it. And I hope what it does is it shows these new business owners or potential business owners that the city as a whole is looking for development of this area, whether it is exactly like this study does or not. At least it shows them that there is an idea other than what it is being used for, and that the city would support future development of this, hopefully into more of a private entities and recreation type activities. So I'm hoping it encourages private business owners to start stepping up to the plate and revamping some of these buildings that haven't been in use for quite some time.
Same question Victoria asking. The city of Kenai spent $100,000 on this waterfront redevelopment study. We reported it here on KSRM and on RadioKenai.com. So what fruits can grow from a study like this? 90 seconds, Ms. Askin.
I was really surprised and happy to see the community support and the participation in the workshops that occurred as part of this study. There's already been an exchange of land. Cassick's Brewery is planning to go in that area. There's, I believe, 5 canneries along that whole waterfront that are currently not operating. Turning that into a boardwalk, a place, a destination place to come to turn right at the sign to come, turn right to Kenai. It's an awesome view there of the flats and Redoubt Volcano. I think that many small businesses could profit there and make it a go-to destination.
Same question, Glennie's Petty. The city of Kenai spent $100,000 on this waterfront redevelopment study. What fruit can grow from a study like this?
Well, it plays off the coming to fruition, the bluff stabilization, which the engineering study will be happening, and this is having a forethought and a long vision for our community to utilize that $1 million or priceless view down there in the riverfront opportunity. Since this has been put in place, we now have a brewery and a restaurant that's coming to our community, which will help stabilize our tax base for all of our citizens. One of the things that was brought out through this study was the need for some infrastructure in that space, and so it would be a joint collaboration between the city and private industry so that the water, sewer, roads, and access would be up to par to make sure that that was all a successful opportunity. The tourist industry would be enhanced also, but also to maintain our local flavor. Many people who probably live in this community have never been right down by the waterfront down there, and it is such a beautiful space, and to make and create something that would enhance and bring our locals to that space would be very lovely.
Let us move on. A hop, skip, and a jump from the waterfront right over there is the Bluff. It's been on the hearts and the minds of everyone for quite some time. So let's talk Bluff erosion. Aside from the money that already has been put aside for the project, what can be done to help fix the problem of the Bluff erosion? 90 seconds, Victoria Askin.
That's such a catch-22 question because, in my opinion, Mother Nature always wins, but the other side of that is if we don't do anything, I believe by year 2057, the bluff will be at the back door. That's not that far away. And so I believe that we need to make that happen, and the sooner the better. And from that, then the waterfront development can occur and keep our community growing. I don't know what the answer is to make it a permanent solution, but I think what we have going is a really good start, and I think that it will help preserve our old town and our bluff.
Glenise Petty, same question. Bluff erosion, aside from the money put aside from the project currently, what can be done to help fix the bluff erosion problem? 90 seconds.
Thank you. Well, come April, the engineering plans will go out to bid. We have been in collaboration with the Corps of Engineers to come up with a solution and plan to solve that bluff erosion issue down there. And with the help of the Corps of Engineers, a plan has been put in place that will stabilize that bluff with big, huge rock, and it will be placed in there with the resources that have come to our community with the feds' resources of $28 million and the state's also utilizing $6.5 million. We have this funded. The engineering project can be between 19 to the high of $42 million, and so we do have all the capitalization with which to see this come to a completion. It will come to a completion, and I look forward to seeing the very first stone put in place to make that, so that it will provide stability in that space, which was once called Millennium Square, for economic development in that space, also to protect the senior center that's in that opportunity, and then all the businesses and properties that are along that bluff.
Same question, Alex Dothit. Bluff erosion, aside from the money put aside from the project currently, what can be done to help fix the problem? 90 seconds.
Well, I mean, I hate to say it, but the money is there to fix the problem. The money is funding the bluff stabilization project, which is what we've paid people that have a lot higher degrees than I have on how to solve this problem. And that's what the money there that's been allocated there is to put boulders and dikes up to stop this from eroding. So essentially the plan of the bluff stabilization project has been the work for, probably 20 years or better. It's been on the works. I've been talking to hear people talk about it for years and years, and it seems like it's coming to fruition. We've got funds finally coming in, and I think it's going to happen. And the money itself is funding the solution, I think, on this. And by stabilizing this, it'll cause that whole old town area and the kind of the old downtown area to be able to be revitalized, because people will have confidence their new buildings might not fall into the water.
So let us change subjects and get your opinion on this next question here. All three of you are running to represent the city of Kenai on the city council. So what is it that you see is the most pressing issue facing residents of the city of Kenai, and what are you going to do to fix it? We'll put 90 seconds on the clock, and we'll start with Glenise Petty.
Pressing issues. Well, I don't see any water leaks. I don't see major road breaks. I think our city is sitting in a very, very wonderful space for economic development, for families to come into our communities. I know that we have we're working to grow and do better. But as far as burning issues, I think that the city is in a very wonderful place.
Same question for Alex Dothit. What do you see as the most pressing issue facing residents of the city of Kenai, and what is it that you're going to do to fix it?
Well, I hate to contradict exactly what Ms. Petty said, but the roads are crumbling. We've got water leaks in our pipes. I just talked to the city manager, and they have a loss daily that they don't know where that's coming from. And so we've got old infrastructure, water lines that are leaking and water loss daily in those. We've got Wildwood Drive, which is literally falling apart, that we're, last I heard, roughly $600,000 plus short on being able to fix from what we initially thought it was going to cost. So we got to come up with $600,000 from somewhere in our budget to fix that road. Lilac and Kenai, that's on the list. The main street by Willow Street there, these are all roads that are in dire need. From my understanding, roads haven't really been paved. New pavement in Kenai hasn't been done since back when Mayor Williams was here. Our main infrastructure, hate to say it, we seems like we've been kind of kicking the can down the road for a while, saving money, but it's time to start spending some of this money. Even just getting some of our roads crack sealed. We've got a lot of roads that didn't get finished this year. I know it started getting rainy. Crews don't really like doing it, but we might have to extend it out to a third party if we're understaffed to get these roads. Preventative maintenance, there's lots of cracks that didn't get sealed this year. So we've got to figure out funding to get these roads and this infrastructure, fix it now before it gets worse and it costs us more money. Put a pinhole leak now, but it could be getting worse and we need to find out where it's going so we can update these things.
Same question, Victoria asking, what do you see as the most pressing issue facing residents of the city of Kenai, and what is it that you're going to do to fix it?
I think that the items that Alex has mentioned, I think there is there's truth to those issues happening, but I also think that the city is doing their best to address these issues. We're fiscally sound. And it's a matter of prioritizing and making those improvements as we can. I know that this year they were faced with a severe personnel shortage. They had a hard time getting people to work. And I know two or three projects that got put off because of that. I believe that under the management that we have, that these issues will be addressed probably sooner than later. They certainly are on the radar of administration.
And if you're just tuning in, this is KSRM 920 AM, and this is the KSRM Election Candidate Forum Decision 2022. This hour is focusing on the race for Kenai City Council. We're joined in studio by Glenice Petty, Alex Dothit, and Victoria Askin, asking questions pertaining to issues regarding the city of Kenai. And it is a three-year term, two to be elected. We've got just about 11, 12 minutes left to go in this hour. Next hour, we're going to be focusing on the race for Kenai City Mayor. So let's continue and go back into the questions, starting with Alex Dothit. Getting members of the public involved in the decision-making process is extremely important. How do you plan to involve city residents in that decision-making process? 90 seconds, please.
That's the hard thing. If it seems like you go to these different meetings and the only people that show up, if it's directly going to affect them, and then after a meeting happens, people think, oh, I should have said something. Reaching out to the public, getting public notices out there the best we can, having, you know, a number that people can reach me at any time. I've got a business front. If I'm there, they can stop in, talk with me in person. I'm around town all the time, trying to just get the word out there. Hopefully that people can start to understand that they need to be involved with this if they want to see something change. What I don't like is people after the fact saying, oh, well, I should have gone and done that. Or, oh, I didn't know that was there. Trying to get that out to people that to be involved, even if it might not directly affect you now, some of these decisions that are made could come back to affect you later. Whether it's some kind of a residence being built in your subdivision or not, it might be built in your subdivision later, and maybe having an input on how this is affected can come and set precedents later on. I think just reaching out to individuals and being more open and trying to get those public notices, using the radio station would be great. I'd love to see the city reach out, do some ads and advertise and let people know when our next meetings are as much as possible. So different with planning and zoning or city council meetings, just a quick blurb the day of on the radio would be great. I think there's ways to do it that we can do more than we're doing now to get more community involvement. So thank you.
Same question for Victoria asking, getting members of the public involved in the decision-making process is extremely important. So how do you plan to involve city residents in that decision-making process? 90 seconds, please.
I believe open communication with our citizens is the first step. Planting seeds and conversation, just having a conversation with someone and explaining to them their role in making something happen is one more step to another person becoming involved. I think newsletters, radio, the fact that we're available and as an elected official, we're there to hear those concerns and address them and be able to educate along the way is important.
Same question for Glennie's Patty. Getting members of the public involved in the decision-making process is extremely important. So how do you plan to involve city residents in that decision-making process?
Open communication is invaluable, and you never can not listen enough. Part of the voting process is that I take the full responsibility as an elected official to listen to all of our citizens, just not the ones that come up and are the loudest, but be mindful of the ones that are living their lives with day-to-day activities that oftentimes this isn't a priority, but making sure that all of our open meetings acts are utilized properly. Also, advertisements of our city council and our zoning, and letting everyone know that we are available for communication and to take questions and know that that's very valuable and we take that very seriously.
Okay, we are starting to run out of time, so let's try and get in as many questions as we possibly can. We'll start with Victoria asking, define the role of a city council member for Kenai.
The city council member is a nonpartisan public servant, in my opinion. As such, we should be there to listen to our citizenry, address questions, answer questions as we can or get the information if we don't have the answer. And we're there to support our community.
Same question, Alex Dothit. Define the role of a city council member for Kenai. 90 seconds, please.
We're there as a public or as a representative for the community to help make decisions that we feel the community wants to be made and that our city gets governed. We're there to listen to our constituents and see what they feel is best and try to work in their best interest and make the best decisions we can to run the city properly and provide guidance for our staff that is doing the day-to-day business of that. It can be difficult, but you got to listen to everybody and take everybody's opinion and hopefully come somewhere in the middle that we can compromise and still get things passed to continue to make the city work.
Define the role of a Kenai City Council member, Glennie's Patty.
The role of a city council member is to make sure that we have a balanced budget and that the safety and public utilities are there for our community. We're also there to put in some ordinances and guidelines so as to make our lives very drama-free. We also, when we're doing those ordinances, make sure that we're mindful not to have be aware of unintended consequences. We want to have small government that is lives within our budget, and that's what I see the role of a city council member to be.
All right, so I'm going to conclude by asking 1 minute closing statements from each of the candidates in the studio because we are starting to run out of time. So that being said, 1 minute closing statement. We'll start with Glennie's Patty, please.
Thank you. Thank you, KSRM, for giving us this voice. I'm Glennie's Patty, and I've had the privilege to serve as a city council member, serve responsibly, physically conservatively and to make sure that we have a balanced budget and have the necessary staff with which to take the day-to-day business of the city that helps our community grow and helps our citizens take care of their needs for their lives. So it's an honor to serve, and I would look and ask for your vote on October the 4th. Thank you.
60-second closing statement, Victoria Askin, please.
Thank you for the opportunity to participate in this forum this afternoon. I am a 38-year resident of the city of Kenai. It is our home. I am fiscally conservative. I believe in open communication. I believe in fiscal responsibility, good management of our city, and I would be honored to represent the citizens of the city of Kenai as your council member. Thank you.
And 60-second closing statement, Alex Stothett, please.
Yeah, I'm just here to make a positive change for the city. I don't want to be a placeholder on the council. I want to make some actual changes. I've got several ordinances I'd like to see move forward when I get in, and I hope to be able to make these changes just from my experience as a business owner in the city. I want to see some positive changes and some new ordinances and codes possibly updated to move along with current trends that are happening in our community and make the city a better place, both on paper and in person.
And that's how it works, ladies and gentlemen. That is going to conclude the candidate forum for Kenai City Council here on KSRM. Just in the couple closing moments here of this hour before we get cut off by the top of the hour ABC News. Once again, that was Glenice Petty. She is the incumbent, Alex Dothett, challenger, and Victoria Askin, challenger. And the way this race is going to go, if you live in the city of Kenai, it's going to be a 3-year term, two of which going to be elected. That is for the race for Kenai City Council. And the municipal election is specifically going to be on, well, actually, a week from today, Tuesday, October the 4th. And, well, it's crazy to think how fast time flies and the fact that fall is almost here. And no sooner does the municipal elections come and pass, we then have the November general election that we're going to be having. And at the tail end of October, we're going to have a forum, election forum, for all of those important races as well. But we are focusing on the municipal election, the municipal races here in Kenai. And so coming up next hour is going to be the race for Kenai City Mayor. And that's going to be a 3-year term, one to be elected. We'll be joined in studio by Brian Gabriel, current mayor of the city of Kenai, and challenger Tia Winger. So that's going to be next hour. And in case you tuned in about halfway, didn't get an opportunity to listen to the entire thing, we will have these posted in its entirety on our website, not only in podcast form, but I'm going to include it in a web post myself the following day at RadioKenai.com, where you'll be able to tune in and listen at your pleasure, not only for those that aren't necessarily involved in the race, but for those that are, in case you do have any other election forums that are going to be happening between now and a week from today. So, a couple closing remarks. The municipal election is on Tuesday, October the 4th. Be sure to go out and vote if you've not done so. We've also got more election forums coming up, not only next hour, but we've also got two more coming up on Thursday, both at 4 and 5 p.m. on Thursday. And those are going to be for the Kenai Peninsula Borough Assembly races, both for Nikiski and Soldotna.